Good morning. Thank you, guys. I pray that the testimony of your life is you can always see the evidence of God in your life. Several years ago, I heard about a group of guys that were going to get together to play a game of football. They said, hey, we're going to meet at the park. We're going to have a great game. Let's all be there by 3 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, they all begin to come together and converge on the park. And when they got there, one of them said, hey, who's got the football? And without one accord, all of them said, I don't have one. I don't have one. I don't have one. Finally, one of them said, it doesn't matter. Let's play anyway. You know, the truth of the matter is the church is in bad shape. About 25,000 people are leaving every month from the local church. I don't know all the reasons why, but a lot of times it's because they've all come to church, but there was no God there. They all came looking for something, but it wasn't there. And sadly, the church, many times, we try to manipulate the moment by dimming the lights and doing all kind of other tricks and pulling stunts to try to draw people in. But you and I both know on this day, which is Pentecost Sunday, when the Holy Spirit shows up and the fire falls, it draws a crowd every time. I don't know about you, but I want to see the fire fall again. Amen. I want to know I've been in the presence of the Lord. I want a touch from Jesus on my life. And so this morning, I want to ask you to take your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 41, and then we're going to read down through the end of that chapter. This is the only time that we see anything of Jesus other than when he was a baby. Here he is at age 12, and this is the only other picture we have of him until he's a grown man. But it says this, beginning in verse 41, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them, and they came to Nazareth, and he was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in the favor with God and man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your words are the words of truth. God, you are the revealer of all truth. God, we could be the most eloquent person in the world, but unless you impart life, it's all for naught. We ask that you would come down and join us today. In Jesus' name, amen. As a believer in Christ, a believer in the Bible, you and I both know that a believer who has trusted in the Lord Jesus cannot lose their salvation. It's impossible. God has you. Jesus said, I've got him in my hand. The Father has me in his hand. You are in the double clutch of God. There is no way you can lose that. However, as believers in Christ, we can lose our joy. We can lose our peace. We can lose our hope. We can lose, most of all, the manifest presence of God. The Bible tells us over and over, it says sometimes the Shekinah glory. There are those moments in the Bible where it tells us that the Spirit of the Lord came in such a way that the priests would have to run out of the temples. They could see a smoke there. They could smell a fire. They could sense, hey, God is in the house. But sadly, as Israel moved along in their travelings, there were times when God would leave the house. And many times they'd find themselves coming back there, going through the same old thing, but God had been lost. I want to share with you a message very quickly this morning called The Day They Lost God in Church. The first thing I want to share with you this morning is this, is what happens when you lose the presence of God? What happens when God's no longer there? Well, one of the first things that begins to happen, listen, all of the purposes of life come to a halt. Suddenly, what really matters is the only thing that should matter. We can't just keep on going on and pretending like, hey, it's all okay. Two Christmases ago, my daughter came home from college, and I said, hey, I've got to take Blaze to see a specialist up in Atlanta. I said, would you like to ride with me? She said, sure. So we rode up to Atlanta. We stayed right down there in the center of the city, right there next in the Omni Hotel. And that morning we got up and we began to go down the elevator to go get breakfast. And I'm talking to my daughter, asking her about school, asking her about her life, and asking her all kind of things. And Blaze, he's standing in between us. My daughter and I are talking. We ride the elevator all the way down to the very bottom. We get off, and I said to her, I said, well, I think we'll go. And all of a sudden, I turned around, and I saw Blaze hit a button on the elevator and close the doors. I smiled, too, at first. But then reality hit me. I didn't know where he was. This wasn't Cairo. It wasn't Thomasville, it was Atlanta. I told my daughter, I said, stay right by this elevator. I'm going to get the next one going up and see if I can find him. So I went up to the floor that was ours. He wasn't there. I came down in a panic, and I told the people at the desk, I said, listen, I've lost my little boy. He's 6 years old. I said, and he can't talk. I need help. I ran up the steps to another floor. And when I got up there, you know what happened? I found out that that door opened up onto Peachtree Boulevard. I thought, man, he could have pushed this door open. He may be on the street. Furthermore, if you know the Omni Hotel, guess what? They got about five or six bridges going to different buildings. I'm going, he could have got off on any floor, walked across one of those bridges, and he's not even in this hotel anymore. I lost about 20 years of my life that day. I hope you never have to, but I called the 911 in Atlanta. I've just lost my son. I'm at the Omni Hotel in Atlanta. What's the street address, sir? I said, I have no idea. It's in the heart of Atlanta. What's your name? Say your name, you know, that call lasted like 25 minutes, it sounded like. I'm saying, man, he's running right now. He may be in Jasper, Georgia by now. I need some help. Life stopped. The other thing that happens when you lose the presence of God, you become stuck in your spiritual life. Listen, you can't go any further if you don't have God with you. No matter how far you come before, you're all suddenly, you're stuck in the mud. One of the things when you read this passage of Scripture, one of the things that happens, when you lose God, guess what? You start traveling backwards. Mary and Joseph had to retrace their steps. They had to go back. And it took them a lot longer to find Jesus than it did to lose Jesus. And all the time, that you live your life, that you move on without the presence of God in your life, listen, it's lost time. That time's wood, hay, and stubble in your life. Has no purpose or meaning to the kingdom of God. The second thing I want to share with you this morning is, how do you lose God? How do you lose God in church? I just want to look at some of these verses here, and I want to share with you very quickly how we can do that. Number one is this. You can lose Jesus at church when your walk with Him becomes a ritual rather than a relationship. Notice what it says in verse 41 and 42. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. I mean, they had gotten in a rut like we all do. Hey, let's just go. We'll go through the motion. We'll sing the songs. We'll say the prayers. We'll have a special day here and there. We'll have some special food. And man, it's going to be a great day. And they had just got into a ritualistic idea, and they'd lost that relationship with Jesus. How many times do we do the same thing? We just get up and we say, listen, let's go. It's time to go to church. It's time to be there. And we find ourselves just going, hey, we're going to sing the same songs and do the same thing. And we believe, hey, it's all okay. Look what we're doing. But Jesus was nowhere to be found. The second thing that happens is when you begin to presume on God. The Bible says in verse 43 and 44, after the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. They begin to think, hey, Joseph said, I bet Mary's got Jesus. Mary said, I bet Jesus is with Joseph. They weren't aware. And in that culture, usually the ladies would set out early, and they would go on ahead, and then the men would come behind. Mary's already gotten there. She's got everything set up. She's got supper on the table. She's waiting for Joseph and Jesus to arrive. They come walking up. Joseph said, hey, how you doing? How was your trip? She's good. And then she says, hey, where's Jesus? And he said, I thought he was with you. Now, I thought he was with you. And sometimes we just assume, listen, God's been here before, he'll be here again. He's done a miracle before, he'll do a miracle again. We just presume upon God. One of the saddest commentaries in the Bible is that picture of Samson. You remember when he had his hair cut? And the Bible says that he got up like he always had before, but he did not realize that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. I wonder how many times we come to church and we started in the same old ritual again, and we just assumed and we presumed, hey, God is going to be there. It's my biggest fear as a preacher. Just because I've gotten up and done it before and I've done it 1,000 times, it's not to think, hey, just because you're doing it and just because you're speaking the right word doesn't necessarily mean the Holy Spirit's not infusing this thing. One of the other ways that you can do it is, listen, when you begin to look for the reality of Jesus in the lives of other people rather than in yourself. The Bible says in verse 45, they begin looking for Jesus among their relatives and friends. They didn't have Jesus, but they were hoping somebody else did. And a lot of times we come to church, we say, listen, I hope that singer got the Spirit of the Lord on him. I hope the deacon's got the Spirit of the Lord on them. I hope the preacher's going to preach to the power of the Lord today. I want to tell you something. This is free. If you look to other people to fill that spiritual void in your life, you're going to end up empty on the inside and disappointed. I don't care how nice they are, how good they are. Man, I wouldn't trust me. I don't even trust me. You need to have Jesus in your life. I need Jesus in my life, and I can't be expected to say, hey, I hope they can give me the Jesus I need. I hope they can give me the Jesus. Listen, there's only one person that can give you the Jesus you need. That's Jesus. Listen, you could lose him when you just assume he's going to be there because he's been before, when you begin to presume against him, when you're hoping that somebody else is bringing him along. But listen, another way you can do it is when you know about Jesus, but you do not know Jesus. Listen to what the Bible says in verse 46 and 47. It said, after 3 days, they found Jesus in the temple courts. He was sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. And everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Oh man, can you imagine this? They're walking in there, and there's Jesus. He's sitting right in the middle. And all the biblical scholars have gotten all the way around him. And they're talking about things and discussing things, and Jesus begins to answer questions. And suddenly they begin to say, hey, this kid, 12 years old, but he acts like he knows something. And I can hear what I'm right now. You know what he said? He said, son, what's your name? And he says, well, on my mama's side, they call me Jesus. But on my daddy's side, they call me Emmanuel, God with us. Somebody said to him, son, how old are you? He said, well, on my mama's side, I'm 12 years old. But on my daddy's side, I'm from eternity to eternity. Somebody said to him, son, what you going to do when you grow up? He said, well, on my mama's side, I'm going to die on an old rugged cross. But on my daddy's side, I'm going to rise again after the third day. Somebody said to him, son, who is your daddy? He said, well, on my mama's side, his name is Joseph. But on my daddy's side, he's the Lord of glory, the great I am. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Listen, you can know all about God but not know God. My roommate, he wasn't my roommate, but a friend of mine in college, he was from Thomasville. I never forget, it was on Mother's Day. It always sticks in my mind, about 1982. And he had a date to go see Kenny Rogers. Anybody here remember old Kenny Rogers? You know, the gambler? And just about an hour and a half or 2 hours before the concert was supposed to start, the girl stood him up. And he said, Lee, would you like to buy a ticket to go see Kenny? I said, man, I can't stand Kenny Rogers. I did have one of his tapes. I knew all of his songs by heart, but I didn't let him know that. He finally said, well, if I gave you a ticket, would you go with me? I said, well, I guess so. I never forget, old T.G. Shepherd, he opened up, and then it was time for Kenny. And I had remembered hearing old Kenny lived in Athens. Remember, he married one of those girls from Hee Haw, and I was sitting right on the edge like this, and they said, ladies and gentlemen, it's Kenny Rogers. And I turned around and looked, and that joker was coming right down towards me. He had two bodyguards in front of him. He was walking. He was waving. And when he got right next to me, I leaned out and said, hey, Ken. He turned around. He stuck his hand out. And he looked me in the eye. And I saw him go. At first, he was like, I know you. Then he was like, I don't know who you are. Man, I could sing The Gambler, Coward of the County, Fine Time to Leave Me, Lucille. I knew what he looked like. I knew his voice when I heard it. I even knew his wife. But I didn't know Kenny Rogers. There's a lot of folks sitting at Eastside Baptist Church and a lot of other churches this morning. They know all about Jesus. They've sang all of his songs. They've seen his picture at their grandma's house. They know all the stories about him, but they don't know Jesus. One last way that you'll lose Jesus in church is this. When you forgot who he really is. Sometimes we get real casual with Jesus. He's the man upstairs. He's my buddy. He's my friend. The Bible says this. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Jesus said to her, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I'd be in my father's house?" She had forgotten. Mary, his own mama, who gave birth, a virgin birth, had forgotten who Jesus really was. And sometimes we forget that Jesus is God, a very God. He knows everything about us. You can't fool him. You can't. He's the one that created this whole world and created every atom in you. He is the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. And sometimes we forget, hey, he is the essence of life. And I cannot live without Jesus in my life. Last thing I want to share with you this morning. What happens when we lose Jesus in our lives? Listen, we live in fear and anxiety, frustration, no peace, no joy. We saw all the ways you can lose God in church. Just assume that somebody else is going to bring him. Look for him in somebody else. You've forgotten who he was, or you don't even know him. How do you get back? The first thing you do, listen, it's pretty simple. Joseph said, "Mary, where's Jesus?" She said, "I thought he was with you." Mary said, "I thought he was with you." And they looked around the camp, and you know what? They came to the conclusion, we don't have Jesus. We got food. We got money in our pockets. We've had a great experience. But we don't have Jesus. And unless you could ever come to that place in your own life and the life of a church, listen, you're going to miss what God has for you. When you're finally willing to say, listen, I've been going through the motions, I've been singing the songs, I've been saying the prayer, but I know that there is no God in the middle of it. That's the first step. The second is this. You begin a journey back to the place where you lost him. To change direction. That's sort of like what the word repentance means. You're thinking one way. You're looking at life one way. Then suddenly you realize, no, that's the wrong way. I've got to change direction. And say, God, I've got to have you. I don't want to live without you. I don't want to go on without you. You're everything to me. You notice the Bible says they turn around, they went a day's journey, they turn around to go back a day, and then they had to look three more days. And that's the third way you find him. Listen, you don't stop until you find him. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29, when you seek me and find me, when you seek me with all your heart. Listen, if there's anything we need this morning, we need more of Jesus, and we need Jesus in this church. We need Jesus in our temples. We need Jesus to be the reality of who we are. My little boy was lost in that hotel. I made up my mind before I ever got him back. I don't know how long that's going to take, but I'm going to search till I find him. I ain't going to quit. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm going to keep looking. I looked. I asked. I didn't care what you thought about me that day. I didn't care if you said he's crazy. He's acting frantic. I was. Finally, I got a message saying, listen, he's down in the lobby. There he was talking to a policeman. I I don't know what it's going to take for you. I don't know what happened in the past. It doesn't matter to me. But something along the way took the joy of the Lord out of you. Somewhere along the way, you went down a path and you just assumed, hey, it's going to happen again. Somewhere along the way, you just begin to depend on somebody else to bring Jesus. And the truth of the matter is, there's probably a couple of you in here that never knew who he was. You know all about him, but you don't know him. Wherever you're at this morning, I want to challenge you. Seek Jesus with all your heart, and you will find him when you do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, here we are in your house with your people. God, what we desperately need is you. The reality, Lord, is we don't need another sermon or a song. We need you. Holy Spirit, pour yourself out in this house. Pour yourself out on me. I am more conscious that I need you now more than ever. I have nothing to offer except Jesus inside of me. God, let it be so in this house, in our individual houses, in our homes. In your name we pray. Amen. We're getting ready to sing a song this morning. And here's my challenge to you. I don't know where you are spiritually, but maybe you've lost the fire. Maybe you're running on fumes. Maybe you've lost Jesus in the midst of everything. Today is the day to say, Lord, I'm empty. I don't know why it happened or where it happened, but I'm empty and I need you. And then I would challenge you today, don't wait another second. Man, when you find out they're gone, you start right then looking like crazy. Not saying, well, I'm going to go eat breakfast, then I'll come back and look for my little boy. No. Now, everything else stops. Maybe this morning you need to come get on this altar and say, Lord, I'm not getting up. They may have to have a business meeting, but I'm going to be still down here on my knees. It'll be okay. Maybe you can do it right there where you're at, but whatever you need to do, you do business with the Lord this morning. Will you stand with me this morning and let's sing, just as I am.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each child, O Lamb of God, I come.
Will you bow your head for just a moment, please, while the instrumentalists continue to play? You say, Pastor, I just can't make myself move, but I know something's missing. I know I'm not where I need to be. I know that Jesus has gone missing in the house, and I need him. Your head bowed, your eye closed. Would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're here this morning, you say, listen, I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed about it. But I'm one of those. I know all about it, but I don't know Jesus. But I want to know him. I want to know him. I want him to be real to me. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, you see these that are in our midst tonight. God, I pray that today that would be the day that you would be revealed to them. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would guide their steps back to that place where you are. And God, that you would become very real in their lives again. God, I pray that you would open up their hearts like you did the Apostle Paul. Open up their eyes. Let them see that you are the resurrected Lord of all. God, move in their lives. Take them and make them yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.